Good morning again. My name is Nick. I'm one of the pastors here at Holland Chapel, and it just makes me feel a little more at home when I get to stand before you after our student band has been up here. They were a little nervous this morning. I heard one of them say just before service, they said, it's like our youth group tripled, and I didn't have the heart to tell them that it was actually more than that, and so, but they did great, and man, it's great to be here. Thank you so much for choosing to worship with us at Holland Chapel on this very special day, a day that not only do we celebrate Jesus Christ, but we get to honor our seniors. I recently read about some famous mistakes, and I want to share those with you this morning. I come across a list, and I found it to be pretty comical, and we're going to talk a little bit about forgiveness this morning, and I wanted to share with you some famous mistakes. It seems that NASA accidentally taped over the moon landing, and no original recordings exist. Seen that happen on a few sitcoms before. Guys would tape over their wedding video for the Super Bowl or something. Apparently it happened with the moon landing. Also, it took 177 years to build the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Maybe you've heard about the Leaning Tower of Pisa, and they built it in 177 years. It only took 10 years for it to start leaning, though. It wasn't originally intended to lean. You all heard this one. There was not enough lifeboats on the Titanic because it was supposed to be unsinkable. Also, an old record label, Decca Records, turned down the Beatles because they were unsellable. I thought there's no way these people are ever going to sell any records. We're not going to get behind them. Another NASA one. I don't know what's going on over there, but NASA lost a Mars orbiter because part of the team used metric units and the other part used English units, and it's out there somewhere and they have no idea where. The Dutch discovered Australia, I didn't know this, 100 years before the British, but they thought it was just useless desert, so they left it there. They didn't do anything with it, and they could have had Australia. And you know this one from history class. Russia sold Alaska to the U.S. for 2 cents an acre because they thought it was useless tundra, 2 cents an acre. And I know my grandmother's going to see, or no, she just went, my in-laws are going to see Alaska soon, and it's far from useless tundra. Young people in here will think this is kind of funny. 12 book publishers rejected Harry Potter. Didn't think it would sell any books, and so 12 people said, no, thank you. And this one just baffles me. I don't understand how it happened. It seems like a Bible story. You know, in the Bible, God would turn armies on top of armies, and they would destroy their own army, and apparently it really happened. In 1788, the Austrian army accidentally attacked itself and lost 10,000 men. Quite the mistake, I would say. Who in here, no one in here would say never made one, right? We've all made mistakes. Everybody in here has messed up. We all have them. Hopefully ours didn't affect entire countries or cause companies to fail. But some of those mistakes that we have in our life have damaged our relationship with God. And in many cases, there's probably many of you here today that have never really gotten over that mistake, that failure, that mess up, that accident. You've done something and it just always has stuck with you. We're going to come back to that in just a little bit. That's kind of where we're going to land today. But I wanted to say, again, what Luke said. We just finished a series with student ministry called Prove It. It was 13 weeks based on James 2:18, which James says, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. And that's what we challenge our students to do, is to prove their faith by their actions, prove it by their words, prove it by the way that they live, prove it with their lifestyle. We handled some topics like that, lifestyle, how we handle adversity. Prove it by loving the church, as Luke mentioned earlier. Prove it by loving others. Making prayer a priority, among many other ways that we can prove our faith to the world around us. All the while being careful to point out that we're not doing that to earn our salvation. A changed life is not the reason for salvation. It's the result. It's the response to salvation. And so we're very careful to tell our students, look, we don't do this to earn God's favor. We don't do this to earn salvation. We do this because it's our response to what God has done for us. And when I was thinking about the series and thinking about the different topics, one particular topic, that of forgiveness, stood out to me as a way to follow up our greater series. If you've been attending Holland Chapel for the last 3 or 4 weeks or since Easter, we've been in a series called Greater, and we talked about God's grace. And we talked about no matter how far we've gone, no matter what we've done, no matter what mistakes we've made, no matter where we've been, God's grace is available. And I thought about it, forgiveness, because no matter how much we hear that, sometimes it still seems unbelievable. It still seems too good to be true. And while we may not be remembered for our failures and mistakes the way that some of these other people are that I mentioned earlier, Sometimes that's all we remember, right? We may not be remembered by those mistakes, but that's all that we think about. That's all that we see ourselves as. That's all that we hold on to. And we've got to realize that forgiveness is for everyone. And I know that you would probably say, well, of course it is. Of course it's for everyone. Sometimes we leave ourselves out of that. And we hold on to those mistakes. We hold on to those failures. We hold on to those things. And they slow us down. They stop us from fulfilling the mission that God's got for us. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about forgiveness. We've got to realize it's for everyone. It's for ourselves. It's for those people who have wronged us. And it's for everybody else. Forgiveness is available to everyone. That's where we're going to spend our time for just a few minutes here this morning. If we're going to prove our faith and experience God's grace that we've been talking about the last several weeks, we've got to realize that forgiveness is for everyone. Because if we don't, we find ourselves not being able to get past our past. We're hung up in the past. Or maybe we can't forgive other people, those who have wronged us. Or maybe you're like me and in all honesty tend to pick and choose who you're going to share that forgiveness with. Because we think, well, that person's never going to believe, or that person's too far gone, or they're going to shut me down. And we tend to withhold that forgiveness from other people. So this morning, there's three things that I want us to talk about that we need to do with forgiveness that's offered to everyone. We need to do three things. First of all, we need to accept it for ourselves. We need to realize that no matter what we've done, no matter how far we've gone, no matter how bad that thing was that we can't get out of our mind, we are offered forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Many people live a life of what's really unhealed pain. It's like that sore that just when you think it's about to heal, you hit it on something or you scratch it or you mess with it and then it opens up again. And we go through life and we think that thing was way back in our past and we're never going to bring that up. And something happens, a memory's triggered or somebody says something or something gets to you and all of a sudden you're back in the past again and we can't forget it. We can't move on. Many people live a life that way. The Bible gives us several examples of men who broke free from those mistakes, pushed on, and God did great things in their life as a result of their being able to move on. Moses, Jacob, Peter, God used them mightily, even after great mistakes. And in the book of 2 Samuel, it's a story that you all know, David, he overcame one of the greatest mistakes probably in Scripture. He had an affair, he deceived his friend, and later had his friend killed, and we all know David as a man after God's own heart. Well, how in the world did he get there? First, he had a pretty great mistake. And yet we see in Scripture where God forgave him. And a man named Nathan pointed out to David what he had done, and immediately David takes responsibility. David realized what he had done. David didn't, and when I was speaking with the teenagers about this, you all can relate to this. If you have kids, they immediately, and sometimes we adults too, want to cast blame somewhere else. Well, it wasn't my fault. Well, I got suckered into it. Well, I didn't really, it wasn't me. It was them. David doesn't do that. David says, oh, I did it. I did it. And we see in Psalm 51, open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 51 this morning. I'm going to read three or four verses out of here. We'll read three here at the beginning and just hold your place because we're going to come back to a verse in just a few minutes. But in Psalm 51, verse number 1, is a psalm that David wrote after Nathan pointed out to him what he had done. After he had pointed out to him, because David's in the middle of all this sin and he doesn't realize what's going on. He just gets so overcome with it. And Nathan says, hey, David, you're the man. You're the man that did this. And David writes Psalm 51. He doesn't pretend to be innocent. He doesn't place blame. He says in verse 1, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Forget about my sin. Cover my sin. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, it says. For I know my transgressions. I know my mistakes. I know my sin. And my sin is always before me. Man, I've been there. You've been there when it's always, you can't get away from it. It's hanging over you. And you need to accept that forgiveness that God offers and move on and accept that the past has passed and ask for forgiveness. And that's what David does. He says, wash me and cleanse me from my sin. I know I've done it. God, get rid of it for me. In 2 Samuel, at the end of the story, Nathan replies, the Lord has taken away your sin. He tells us that God is faithful to forgive our sins. And maybe today you need to hear that no matter what you've done, forgiveness is available to you. David later wrote one of the greatest psalms, I think, one of the greatest passages of Scripture. Griffin read it to us this morning, Psalm 103. I think it's going to be on the screen again. I want you to see what David says as a result of this forgiveness. He says he does not treat us as our sins deserve. Boy, that's grace, isn't it? We've been talking about grace. That's the definition of grace. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions, our sins from us. It says he's removed them so far away that you can't see them anymore. He's removed them as far as possible. Yet sometimes we still can't seem to get away from them. How is that? It says God moved them so far away from the east as from the west, as far as you could possibly move them, and yet they still seem sometimes to be right in front of us. I love biographies. I'm fascinated by characters in the past, and I love to read biographies, and I come across some information about Houdini, Harry Houdini, incredible life. And I was reading about him, and Harry Houdini was a magician, illusionist. In the early 1900s was when he was famous. He was best known as an escape artist. And what he would do is he would go from town to town across Europe, and one of his, I guess you would say, tricks is that he would go into a city and he would say, no matter what kind of jail you have, I can get out of it. He said, you put me in a jail, let me walk in street clothes, and then you guys go away, and I can bust out of any jail in Europe. And so Houdini would go from place to place, and the story goes, and it's undocumented if it's completely true, but nobody says that it's not, and they say this probably really did happen because the way that he was able to get out of the locks, this really could have happened. And so he goes to one particular city in Europe, and they say, we've built a brand new jail, and even Houdini can't get out of it. So they call up Harry Houdini, and he would make a big show of it. Like, he would get in the city, he would go around, and they would make a big deal about it, and they would advertise it, and they would say, come back this day, and he's going to get in this jail, and we've built a new jail that he cannot get out of. So they drummed up all this publicity, and Houdini goes in there, and they lock him in just like he's done dozens and dozens of times before. They leave him, and as soon as they leave, he starts to work on it. He starts to try to get out. 30 minutes go by. An hour goes by. An hour and a half goes by. Finally, 2 hours later, he's sweating and drenched in sweat and worn out and frantic because his reputation is on the line, right? He can't possibly not get out of here, or he'll never have the same reputation again. 2 hours, he finally just falls down and gives up. And as he falls down, he realizes and he hits the cell that all he had to do was push, and the cell was unlocked the whole entire time. The only place the cell was locked was in his mind. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And sometimes the only place that we're still held captive by our mistakes, by our failures, by our sins is in our mind. And instead of thinking of ourselves as a failure, instead of thinking of ourselves as that past, instead of thinking of ourselves and referring to ourselves as a mess up, we've got to realize that we are God's child. We are who God says that we are. We're his child. We're forgivable. We're changeable. We're capable. Isaiah 43 on your screen, it says in verse 25, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. I love that, for my own sake. God's saying there, I'm gonna forgive you of your sins for my sake, because he knows what's going to happen next, and that's where we're going there. You're not fulfilling your purpose if you're locked in your past. We've got to accept that forgiveness. And for God's glory, for his sake, do the second thing that we need to do with forgiveness, and that is to offer it. Offer that forgiveness. How wrong would it be for us to be forgiven as great as we've been forgiven, and yet somebody cuts us off in traffic, or somebody wrongs us, or somebody says something mean about us, or somebody does who knows what, something little probably, and we're withholding that forgiveness from them when God's forgiven us so much. If we really want to prove our faith, we've got to accept forgiveness for our sins and stop holding other people's sins against them. Colossians 3:13 says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. That's pretty plain. And there's nobody in this room that would say, nope, God's never forgiven me anything, right? We wouldn't say that. Yet there's so many times we're withholding that forgiveness from others. We've been forgiven because of grace. Check out what Hebrews 12 says. If this doesn't tie the two together, I don't know what does. It says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God. See to it. That's implying that we can cause people to miss the grace of God. We can cause people to miss out on God's incredible grace. It says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. What that says to me is that if we withhold forgiveness, if we get this bitterness between us and somebody else, we're causing them to miss the grace of God because we're not offering them forgiveness. We're not showing them grace as God showed us grace. Others are missing the grace of God because we aren't offering forgiveness. That same forgiveness that we've been given is available to everybody, everyone. We've got to accept forgiveness. We've got to offer forgiveness. And thirdly, we've got to share forgiveness. Not just to the person who's wronged us. This is not just talking about, well, you've done this to me, I'm going to forgive you. This is talking about share that forgiveness is available to those people around you, that God places you around. We speak all the time to our teenagers that God has placed them on a mission field. They're in front of people that I'm not in front of. They're in front of people that you're not in front of. And the same goes for you and me. We're in front of people that others are not in front of. And God's placed us there so that we can share this great news of God's grace and God's forgiveness. I told you we're going to stay in Psalm 51. One last verse. David knew that he couldn't change the past. He knew that he couldn't do anything about it. His terrible sin that just ripped his heart out, what he had done. And he couldn't change that, but he hoped to change the future. Look down in Psalm 51. Go down to verse 13. David writes this about God, have mercy on me, and God, forgive me of my sin, wash away of my sin. And then in verse 13, he says, here's what's going to happen, God. You do that, and here's what's going to happen. Not a deal, but God, he's not making a deal with God. He's just saying, God, when you do this, here's what I'm going to do. It says, then I will teach transgressors or sinners your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. David says, God, you're going to forgive me, and when you do, I'm going to tell everybody. I'm going to tell everybody how you've forgiven me, and people are going to turn back to you because of it. He's saying people are going to accept this message. People are going to hear it. But sometimes, and I'm telling you, I'll just be honest with you, I have a tendency to write people off. David says, God, I'm going to teach sinners your ways. I'm going to tell them about your forgiveness, and they will turn back to you. But in my mind, as I'm going through life, I think, man, that person, they don't want anything to do with Jesus. They don't want to hear that. Or that person, they're just too far gone. There's no way that they're going to come around. They'll never believe. That person's never going to believe. I'm guilty. I've done that. And I'm striving to listen and obey the voice of God more. I've spoken to you before about letting my mind get ahead of my heart. Like I hear God telling me to do something and go out and tell somebody about Jesus or serve this person or be there for that person. And yet my mind tells me all kinds of reasons why I can't. My mind tells me, no, they're going to make fun of you or they're not going to hear you. And so I let my mind go. And I shared this story with three or four guys at the men's retreat over the weekend, which, by the way, was a blast. Don't miss it next year. But I shared this story. And it's a humbling story, but it's hilarious to me because of how God works and how God speaks to me. And I hope that you have an experience like this with God just working things out and letting you know that you can trust Him, right? So Easter Sunday, we leave out of here, and if you left like me, we were just on top of the world, right? He's risen. We're having a great day. My life's been changed. We talked about God's grace. We leave out of here just on top of the world, ready to tell everybody. So I go to get gas. I mean, right after service. I'm still in my dress clothes, and as I'm pumping the gas, I think, yeah, I'm going to go in here and pay. And I'm just going to tell this gas station attendant, I'd seen him before in there, and I said, God, I just feel like you're telling me to go in there and tell this guy Happy Easter. You know, it don't matter. He didn't get to go to church. It don't matter what religion he is. It doesn't matter where he came from, what he believes. I'm just going to go in and start a conversation and say Happy Easter. Well, as I start walking up there, my mind jumps ahead of my heart, and I go in to get me a Dr. Pepper, and as I'm walking down the aisle, I'm starting to think of all the reasons why this is a bad idea, right? All the reasons why this is not going to work. This guy, he's not a Christian. He's going to think you're shoving it down his throat. He's not going to like that. You're going to offend his religion. And so I'm thinking about all the things, reasons why I can't do this. Well, that's a lot of thinking for a walk to the freezer and back, but it was happening. And so I get back up to the counter, and I decided, well, I'm just going to be really nice to him, and I cop out, right? I just decided that I'm not gonna push religion. I'm just gonna cop out. I'm just gonna be really nice. So he's wearing a t-shirt about a movie, and I say something about the movie, make a little conversation, which is a little bit more than I normally do, but still not what God wanted me to do. And I said, "Hey, it's a good movie." And he said, "Oh yeah, good movie." And I said, "I'll have to check that out." And so I'm taking my pay and had a nice little exchange, and I take my Coke and I turn to walk away. This gets me every time. It's hilarious, but I want you to know how honest I'm being with y'all, that the pastor of the one of the pastors of the church here has just chickened out on telling this guy about Easter. I get my Dr. Pepper. I turn to walk away, and the guy tells me, "Hey, happy Easter." I promise. That's exactly what happened. Went back to my truck, and I tell my son, I said, "Will, God just told me to get out of the way." I mean, if that doesn't tell you, God's already put those people there. He's already prepared their heart. Sure, sometimes it might be hard, and sometimes it might not go the way you think it's going to. But we're called to share forgiveness. We're called to share Jesus. And God's got them ready whether we know it or not. We could have had a great conversation about He is risen right there at the gas station, but I chickened out, and he tells the pastor happy Easter because the pastor won't open his mouth. There's an old hymn. It seems like every time I'm up here, I'm talking about old hymns, but I love some of these. And there's one, and it says, "Oh, what wonderful love. Oh, what grace divine that Jesus should die for me." It goes on to say, "I was lost in sin, for the world I pined, but now I am set free. Whosoever surely meaneth me." Some of you know that song, "Whosoever surely meaneth me," and it says it over and over and again. And some of you today need to realize that whosoever means me, means you, that we're in that. Forgiveness is for us. Some of us need to hear that whosoever means that coworker, that family member, that teammate, that spouse, that church member that's offended you, whosoever means them, forgiveness is for them. And some of you just need to be reminded to speak up that whosoever means that gas station worker. It means that person that you interact with at the grocery store. Whosoever means all of us. We've all been offered this forgiveness, and we are commanded to accept it, to offer it, to share it. I hope that means something to you today, because as I was preparing this, it speaks to me big time, because I withhold forgiveness. I'm guilty of them all. I'm guilty of all three of those. And I can't imagine that some of you aren't as well. But I want you to know that the grace of God is offered to all who will believe, to all who will receive forgiveness of their sins because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross and the fact that he is still risen. We said we were going to do that a few weeks ago, and I came up here and I said, "Guess what?" And you said, "Guess what?" or something. We had a mix-up, but your line is, "He's still risen." And because of that, forgiveness and grace is offered to all of us. Would you stand up and let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer? Maybe this morning you need to let go. You need to realize that the past is in the past and you need to move forward. Maybe you're trapped in the past. Maybe you're trapped by a sin. And the only place that you're held captive still is in your mind. Or maybe you know right now who it is that you need to go and offer that forgiveness to because you've been withholding it and that bitter root is growing up. And now all of a sudden you're causing that person to miss the grace of God. Or maybe you just need to commit that, "Hey, I'm going to start listening to my heart. I'm going to start listening to God when he speaks to me, and I'm not going to let my mind get in the way of why I can't do this or why I won't do this, but I'm going to share forgiveness and the grace of God with those around me." Whatever God is speaking to you about this morning, I pray that you would respond. Let's pray.